It's time for 1313 Harbor, the podcast hosted by Jasmine and Michelle.
That's us. Welcome to 1313 Harbor, the podcast, where two adult daughters love Baby Yoda so much they would die for him. I'm Jasmine.
And I'm Michelle.
Michelle, would you like to hear the song I wrote about Baby Yoda?
Yes, I would.
It's called Baby Yoda, and then in parentheses, I would die for you.
Yeah.
It goes like this. Baby Yoda, I would die for you. Baby Yoda, I would die for you. I like your robes and the way you eat frogs. And you use the force and you take a nap. My songs aren't as good as yours.
No, but it's, no, you're right. They're better.
They're better.
We begin today with breaking news.
The IAAPA convention, IAPA. Have you heard of that before?
Yeah.
I've never heard of that before.
Yeah, and the Theas were there.
Yeah, Theas. Yes, I'm going to talk about the Theas.
Yes, I performed at the Theas.
Oh, what did you perform? Godspell?
What? No. The Theas were, they're the theme entertainment award show. It was the year Potter opened, so it swept, and I sang like three numbers.
You sang El Shaddai?
El Shaddai, El Shaddai.
So the IAAPAs are, IAPA, are a convention that shows like the newest and latest in theme park technology. It's a celebration of all things theme parks.
But mostly Disney.
But mostly Disney and Universal.
No, I'm just kidding. It's not mostly Disney, actually, because I don't think like WDI has a presence there.
No, well, the person who won Lifetime Achievement Award was a Imagineer.
Achievement.
It's Mickey Mouse. So so the Thea Awards, as we said, were announced. Michelle performed El Shaddai there.
That's right.
And so the Lifetime Achievement Award went to Nancy, please forgive me for mispronouncing this, Ceruto, S-E-R-U-T-O, mm-hmm. The Shanghai Disney Resort Creative Executive for Walt and part of Walt Disney Imagineering. So go, Nancy. The Thea Classic went to Pageant of the Masters in Long Beach. Now, have you seen Arrested Development?
Yeah.
Okay, you know how they have that thing where, like,
The Living Portraits?
That's a real thing that they do in Laguna Beach, and I've seen it. It's like a really big deal in Orange County.
No, I'm sorry. Yeah. What?
They literally go, and it's really good. It is, like, unironically good. People go, and they recreate, like, portraits and, like, pictures, and it looks really real. And you think it'd be weird, but it's just, like, that spectacle of, like, oh, it looks like a painting, but, like, this little boy's arm is moving. So I just thought that was a cool, like, shout-out to Orange County and Arrested Development. There is no one in a muscular Adam suit. That far. And then every year they do the Last Supper, and that's like the big deal. Like, oh, they do the Last Supper.
Oh, wow.
And you can never get tickets. It's always sold out.
Really?
Yeah.
By who? All the people, actors' moms?
All the rich people in Orange County who are like, I support the arts, but just don't touch me.
Yeah. I support the arts, but I have no idea who Eric Whitaker is.
I don't know who Eric Whitaker is.
He's a composer.
Oh, okay. Because I'm from Orange County and I go to Pageant of the Masters, so I don't know.
he does a lot of acapella, but not like, hey, we're acapella, everything is really great. It's like these beautiful, like, 7 or 8-piece harmony pieces. I've done a few of them. My favorite is Water Horse.
So the best attraction went to Hagrid's Magical Motorbike, and also Smuggler's Run was another one. And then this thing called Le Premier Royaume, which I was looking it up. It's at a French theme park that's a historical medieval theme park. And it's like it's a walkthrough exhibit, but with actors and theater. And it was all in French. I didn't quite get what was going on, but the sets looked amazing.
Cool.
So I just thought that was cool that like they competed and won with two major theme parks, this little theme park in France.
France.
The best theme park went to Warner Brothers World in Abu Dhabi. So, guess we're going to Abu Dhabi.
Oh, is that the one with the Garfield ride?
I think so,
The Garfield log flume?
Yeah, that one. I don't know much about that, except I didn't know. I know there's the Lionsgate theme park, which has all the Hunger Games stuff.
Ugh.
Yeah, that is somewhere in the Middle East as well. I could be totally wrong about that. Don't quote me. And then best new land went to Galaxy's Edge. Obviously. But yeah.
Wasn't it the only new land?
I'm pretty sure. I don't know if like Knott's builds a new land or. Yeah, they're like, you win because you were the only one.
Yeah.
Here's your participation. It is the best new land, though. There couldn't have been one better than that. Yeah. I know you're not like super into Star Wars land, but like in terms of like the effort they put into it, I think it's good. Yes. I can, even if you're not a fan of Star Wars, like it's still like a nice new land.
Yeah.
It's immersive. Place. There's rocks.
There's, so many rocks.
There's buildings.
I just, as I always say, I just wish it wasn't attached to Disneyland.
Yeah. If it wasn't at Disneyland.
If it was at DCA, yeah. I would be like, boop, boop.
Give me that blue milk bath.
Bloop, bloop, bloop.
It's like, you know how queens bathe in milk? I just bathe in blue milk.
Yeah.
And then get itchy.
You're like, I think I'm allergic.
I think I'm having some issues here. So John Williams was nominated for a Grammy for his score for Galaxy's Edge under the Best Instrumental Composition category.
Cool. The Grammys are out already?
I guess so. I don't know if this is like these Grammy nominations come out at a different time than the main Grammy nominations. Oh. I feel like that man just poops awards.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he's been one. I think he's won 5 Oscars. Isn't he the most nominated person of all time? I feel almost certain about that fact. I might know. He's towards the top.
Yeah.
A lot of the EGOT winners are all composers.
Composer, and Mark Van
yeah. Composer.
And Tracy Jordan.
Yes.
And Rita Moreno.
Yes. And Whoopi Goldberg.
And Whoopi Goldberg. And, Alan Menken almost EGOTed, but he didn't get the Emmy for Gallivant, which is a shame because that music's good. Yes.
And Lin-Manuel Miranda's pretty close, too.
Yeah, he's going to EGOT soon.
Yeah. And I almost said Noel.
Anna Kendrick?
Not Anna Kendrick. Why am I forgetting Adele? Adele's going to EGOT one of these days.
Probably.
She might even... No, I don't think she has yet. I think she's got an Oscar. She just needs an Emmy. She just needs to be like, I'll do TV, yo. I don't know.
Hello.
I don't know how British people talk.
Adele.
I'm Adele. I see you like an angel. Two British people. I apologize, British people.
We've got bad teeth.
You have Harry Potter and have cool accents and a queen... who's awesome. So I love the show The Crown.
Me too.
Oh, have you watched The Crown?
I'm savoring season 3 instead of binging it like I did season 2.
Helena Bonham Carter is a revelation. I love her. You probably don't like her. I love her in it. I think she's so good.
I just think she looks far older than Olivia Colman.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, oh, that's so your pretty. Little sister?
Yeah. Like, oh. But that sister did die a lot sooner because she was a heavy smoker. So, yeah. I mean, I know Margaret. That's not why they did that, but I'm just going to be like, that's why they did it.
Oh, okay.
So a new promotional poster for Mickey's Runaway Railway has been released. So in this poster, he's underwater and he's scuba diving or something. He's underwater with Minnie, I believe, and the vehicle's underwater. So I'm like, perhaps there'll be an underwater scene. Who knows what's going to happen?
Perhaps the whole ride is underwater.
Perhaps.
We need a good water ride at studios. Yes.
I know that there's a train involved. Trains go underwater all the time. It's magical. And then Sebastian sings to you. This is all fact, by the way. If confirmed that Sebastian comes and sings to you. What if this is all true and like Disney's like, how did you know?
How did you know? Get out of our brains.
And then Mickey ascends to the sky. You're like, oh, drink blue milk. It makes you strong. And that's Mickey's Runaway Railway.
Brought to you by 1313 Harbor the podcast.
I am excited as more details of that ride come out. I feel like that ride like had like a lot of interest and like Galaxy's Edge came out and it kind of lost interest. And I feel like now it's kind of peaking again.
Yeah. When is it open?
After we're there. Sometime in 2020.
Is that how we just measure things?
Yeah, that's how I measure things, is before Orlando and after Orlando.
Got it.
I know, I'm pretty sure it comes out next year at some point. Ours doesn't come out for 2 more years. Ours is cool because it's completely built from scratch, though. And theirs is within the confines. Yeah, retrofit. So that will be interesting.
Interesting.
You can see, now that the mountains are gone, I don't think they've put them back yet in Toontown. You can see from the freeway the Toontown sign.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. I saw that when I was driving the other day. And I was like, oh, it's Toontown.
Hey, I've been there.
You can see Galaxy's Edge in Toontown. So more information was revealed about Berry Tail. So I don't know if it was last week or the week before. I was talking about that new Knott's Berry Farm ride.
Yes.
But it's like an old ride that they're kind of bringing back, but it's a new version. And I really want them to do that. I want Disney to like take a hint and be like, people mover.
Adventure Through Inner Space.
Adventure Through Inner Space, People Mover. Anything, Journey to Imagination.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Scratch all that. Journey to Imagination.
I've been working.
How about this? Get rid of DCA and let's just give me Westcott.
Just, Dare to Dream. I will give you all the money I have.
The impossible dream.
I've been learning the lyrics of the song better. So when I meet Uncle Ron, I won't be like, ah. So the story, this is in quotes. This is from the designers. The story takes place 34 years after the original adventure. So these bears are older, and will follow Boysenbear and Grizzlinbear as they travel to the country fair, I feel like this rhymes, to earn the blue ribbon prize for their famous Boysenberry pies.
Delish!
But Crafty Coyote is back along with his mischievous pups, those pups, intent on stealing all the pies for themselves, same.
What?
Oh, this was interesting. So the makers of the ride consulted with former Imagineer Rolly Crump. First of all, I'm very happy to know he's still with us. He's only born in 1930, so he's not, he was, must have been a very, a younger man during, he was probably like in his 20s, 30s. But yeah, he consulted on this ride, and he has an awesome name.
That's cool.
I'm like, Rolly, with
Rolly,
the river.
Didn't he do the Tower of the Four Winds?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
He must have been very young.
Yeah. Let me, you continue, Ash.
Okay. So I'm just excited to hear any Imagineers working on things. There's that famous story, I don't know if it's it's famous to Michelle and I, of Tony Baxter and his friends when they're bored, they sit around and they try to blue sky Imagineer Knott's Berry Farm. I don't even know if they blue sky. They just try to think of ways to like improve on the theming. So I'm like, Rolly, you got to do it.
You did it.
Maybe Tony Baxter will one day. Knott's Berry Farm is definitely, like, especially with their new River Rapids ride, they're definitely upping their theming a lot. So, good, because for a while, they just did, like, roller coasters, and now I feel like they're getting back to their roots. Yes, Michelle.
He is still alive. He is 89. He was born in Alhambra, and he worked on the 1964 World's Fair.
Oh.
I was right. He did the Tower of the Four Winds.
Yes, and did he do, he did something for Haunted Mansion, didn't he? Everyone worked on Haunted Mansion. I feel like there was a point where there wasn't really a head Imagineer for rides. It was kind of like everyone worked on a different thing. And then at a certain point, there was like a head one and then a lot of people who worked under them.
Yeah.
But he was back in the like, oh, Exitensio, you do this. And like,
who?
Extreme! Pew, 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 pew. Yes. So the...
And now back to business.
New Tomorrowland entrance art has been released for Disneyland.
And it is...
Better. It's but fine. Better. If they got rid of Astro Orbiter, it would be quite good.
I think...
Yes.
Water is... the movement of water
yes.
signifies moving towards something.
Yes.
Perhaps even the future.
Oh.
And so perhaps there should be some water accoutrement added yes. to Tomorrowland.
I think anything's better than those French fries.
Oh, God, yeah.
Number one. It is a lot cleaner.
Yeah.
It is more of a throwback to Tomorrowland 67.
Which I like. Yeah, yes. No. It's definitely better. But yeah. I was hoping for...
We just have very high expectations of Disney, and it is just like...
We have Frank Wells expectations.
Yes, we do. It's just like colorful grass and friends.
But I like that it's orange and yes. blue.
Yeah.
That's very future-y. I like that.
They like future colors.
That was the Star Tours
costume. Mm-hmm. In our... So we have a Patreon, as we've mentioned many times. We had a Google Hangout yesterday and
which I slept through.
Yes, Michelle slept through. I wasn't gonna bring that up, but Michelle slept through it.
No,
she's a sleepy beepy.
I know. I've been very
Michelle
tired.
Works very hard at Dunkin' Donuts, making you donuts, everybody.
Yeah. time to make the donuts. Waking. And who does it? Me.
What time do you have to wake up every morning?
5.
Ooh. That's ungodly.
5, and then I start work at 7:30 because I have to drive an hour to work. Then I get off at 4:30, and then I have a 90-minute ride home.
You have the same hours I do.
And then
but I don't
7:30?
7:30 to 4:30, but I don't have the commute you do.
Oh, yeah.
And I very rarely get to work on time. New entrance. I hope this is...
Oh, you were talking about the Patreon.
Oh, the Patreon. We were talking about, do you think they will get rid of Star Tours? And I said no, because it just...
I hope so.
I mean...
I hope they move it in a bad way. Can they?
Yeah. I mean, technically they could. I don't think they would ever, because that's just not economically, fiscally responsible. And, you know, they got to be fiscally responsible. It just doesn't make sense where it is. It's weird that you have a Star Wars land and then like half a Star Wars land.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, they're not going to do it because it's just too much money.
And it's too popular of a ride.
It's still a pretty popular ride.
Yeah.
I wish they would bring back Adventure Through Inner Space and then People Mover and then I will ascend to the sky on a fountain of blue milk. It's good.
It's a step in the right direction, but it's not what I wanted.
I like the one in Orlando better.
Yeah.
But that's literally just like a thing.
A sign.
Yeah, a sign. Like a good sign, but yeah. A sign. I saw the sign and opened up my eyes.
Oh, so whenever I think of that Tomorrowland entrance, I think of the end of the that documentary with Hooch and Cowboy, the one that the Horizons documentary.
Oh, yes, 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 yes.
Yeah, because the person is...
Which is on YouTube.
Which is, and very good, mm-hmm. where the guy is, like, standing and he watches his friend.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, don't make me cry. I need to watch that again. That's such a good...
So good.
So I think we've talked about it before. It's this documentary about these two men who became friends in, I think, the 80s and 90s. And they discovered a way to get off of the Horizons ride, which is a former ride in Epcot, and walk around. And they have, like, these incredibly beautiful... Like, I wish every ride could be this detailed.
Oh,
like,
God.
Photographed. Just photographs of every inch of the ride. They love
backstage,
that ride.
Backstage, upstage, downstage. Yeah.
And they never got caught the entire... And they did it for probably... it seemed like 10 years or something.
Yeah, I mean, maybe like a few, but...
Yeah.
It was just so cool. And
more
then,
years than you think you get away with it.
Yeah.
We do not recommend this at 13-13
no,
Harbor.
No,
but,
no. I mean, I think it's pretty impossible.
Yeah, now. But, you know, yeah. In this 90s, 80s laissez-faire.
There were no laws.
For those of you who don't know, there's this thing called Baby Yoda. He is... Yoda, but a baby in The Mandalorian. And he's amazing. And Disney will be releasing Baby Yoda merchandise.
And who bothered you to watch The Mandalorian?
You.
Thank you.
And I enjoyed it.
And who was right?
Michelle.
That's right.
Yes.
And who's the cutest little baby in the whole wide galaxy?
Baby Yoda and Michelle.
Ah, bonus!
I will be buying this plushie. I don't care how much it costs. I will be buying all... If they make a Baby Yoda Loungefly backpack, I will be buying that. These are Disney. You... Take these ideas. You're welcome. Baby Yoda commemorative plates.
An actual baby.
Just Baby Yoda's so cute. Just even, like, I feel like out of context, you can appreciate the cuteness of Baby Yoda. He's just mom, Christmas presents, Baby Yoda.
So cute.
I did send my mom a Christmas list because I'm 12.
Ah.
Because she just was like, oh, I'm just going to give you money. I'm like, mom, but I want presents.
But
mom. Mom, no, I don't have anybody to buy me things. You're the only one who gives me presents anymore, mom. What have you been watching on Disney Plus this week?
The Mandalorian.
Ah.
I watched half of Noelle.
Yes.
But fell asleep. I watched
a Dale part and of I the are encouraging you to finish that.
Yes, I watched part of the Simpsons movie and fell asleep.
Oh, I've never seen that.
I watched the beginning of Bedknobs and Broomsticks and I fell asleep.
I always forget that's a Disney movie, because I always get that in my head confused with Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
Oh, I watched Chitty Bang Bang recently,
but that's not a Disney movie.
It's the most Disney not Disney movie.
Yeah, they're like, let's
the
make
Sherman
Mary Poppins.
Brothers.
Yeah, and Dick Van Dyke's in it.
Yeah,
yeah,
doing his Dick Van Dyke thing.
He's just like, I'm Dick Van Dyke. I'm the best in the world.
Yeah, that's all I've watched this week. I've been super busy and very tired.
I can't. Since The Crown came out, I haven't been watching as much Disney Plus.
Yeah, I've been watching The Crown.
I started to watch Inside Out. And I will finish that one day.
Oh.
It's I think it's a really cute idea. I can see why people love it so much and why it's so innovative. It's just like, oh yeah, this was a time I don't really care to remember in my life.
Yeah, I don't care for Inside Out.
But it's like a lot of Pixar things. I know why it's
yeah,
so good.
Like I appreciate it, yes. But I'm like, I'm not gonna own this movie.
It's not
like Cars 1.
Yeah. It's like
for some reason I love that movie.
I've never seen any of the Cars trilogy.
I don't like any of the other. Just the first one I love so much. I love Monsters Inc. Not the second one, but I love the second Toy Story.
I really love the Imagineering story.
I've been watching that. Sorry.
So
this week's episode was called The Midas Touch, and I literally thought they were talking about Tony Baxter.
I thought it was going to be all about Michael Eisner, and it was really all about Frank Wells.
Yeah.
And it kind of confirmed what I always – and who knows, like, if this is 100% true, because this is obviously, like, people's opinions, that Michael Eisner and – like, really, he and Frank Wells were, like, a machine together, and he was at his best with Frank Wells.
Mm-hmm.
And then after Frank Wells, I feel like it just wasn't – he still was good, but it was, like – I don't know. It just, they worked together so well.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize Frank, I always thought Frank Wells was the money man, but I guess he was really big, like the champion for Imagineering.
Mm-hmm.
And
because like so much good stuff came out of WDI at that point. I do like the fact that Michael Eisner, it's so weird that he renamed Imagineers from Wed Enterprises mm-hmm. to Imagineering and Imagineers. Oh, yep. I thought that was a weird. I was
yeah, bold move.
Yeah, like look at you coming in, changing names.
Do you know he has a net worth of $1 billion?
Ugh, did you know I want to kiss him in the mouth?
I want to marry him. Yeah. So when we were kids, Michelle, I don't know if you remember not Tony Baxter, Michael Eisner was like very present in our lives.
Yes, which is so funny mm-hmm. because if I ever got 5 minutes with Bob Iger, uh-huh. my question is, mm-hmm. Walt had such a big presence, mm-hmm. then there was a gap, then Michael Eisner had such a yes. big presence. Like growing up, Michael Eisner and Walt Disney in my mind were equals. Yes. And so coming from a man who wanted to be a weatherman and wanted yeah. to be on TV, it's interesting that Bob Iger yeah. isn't on TV more mm-hmm. and isn't more at D23 and isn't more in the public eye. So mm-hmm. that's my question for him if I ever meet him.
As much as Michael Eisner was like, oh, I can never replace Disney. I can't be a Disney. I have to be his own
thing. No, he tried really hard.
Like, so there was, Disney had Disneyland series, and then there was the Wonderful World. I think also Walt had the Wonderful World of Disney.
Yeah.
And then Michael Eisner brought back Wonderful World of Disney, and he did the intros for them.
Hello.
Hello.
I'm Michael Eisner.
Hello. I'm Michael Eisner. And he was like silly. He wasn't afraid to be silly.
Yeah.
I just love Disney Daddy so much.
I do too.
He really tried. And I think like they said in the documentary, he was just like an idea blender, and some of them were superb, some of them were fine, and some of them sucked.
Right. But I think it was Frank that was like,
this is a good one. Yeah.
This is a good one. Mm-hmm. This is not a great one. Yeah. But I really wish there was a Videopolis is like Pleasure Island. Like, I mm-hmm. wish there was an opportunity to dance at Disneyland.
You know,
aside from the 20 seconds I can get at the Tomorrowland Terrace.
You danced with me, and by danced, I stood there and you danced around me. Yes. You know who was a big patron of Videopolis?
Was it your sister Jade, who is 10 years older yes. than you?
Yes. And she was telling me the stories of Videopolis was like the kids who had more money, and then the cooler kids, though, went to Knott's Berry Farm, and there was kind of like a turf war between them. And I was like, I heard this in videos, but it's nice to hear it confirmed.
Was it like a dance-off?
Not a dance-off.
5, 6, 7, 8. We are dancing, but we are from Disneyland. We're from Knott's.
It was kind of you go to Videopolis. Oh, you must be rich and spoiled. And then the Knott's kids were like, oh, you go to the Knott's one. You're a tough cookie. Like, I don't want to cross you. So, yeah, we should interview her about that.
I was just thinking that.
If I can sit my sister down for 5 minutes, because that's impossible, we can chase after her when we go to Disneyland. We'll just follow her around with a microphone.
Hello, Jade!
And she'll just be like, I'm going to talk to everybody, because she's like you. You two are the same person.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Sometimes that personality repels itself.
Well, you two really liked each other, though.
Yeah, but we weren't around other people.
That's true. You just had me.
You're not a people.
I'm not a people.
You're a Jasmine.
I'm an entity.
I'm a spirit.
Spirit. Speaking of entity, this week's episode is about the Universal Tram Tour. Now, I've been wanting to cover this for so long. This was a topic that was it's so encompassing, it was kind of hard to do it. So we split it into two parts. This is just the tram tour. This will probably be one of my favorite episodes, but I know this will be one of our least popular because people don't like our Universal episodes as much.
I don't know anything. I mean, I know like six things. Mm-hmm. I know about three things about the tram mm-hmm. tour. They are, one, mm-hmm. it started a long time ago.
Yes.
Two, Jimmy Fallon is now the host.
Yes.
Three, there's no bathroom break.
There is no bathroom break, but there used to be.
Oh!
Yes. Let me take you on a so Universal Tram Tour is one of my favorite things in the world. It would be my top three favorite ride, along with People Mover, Skyway Buckets, and the tram in the parking lot.
You just love transportation.
I love transportation, yes.
You're like Bob Gurr's protege.
I am. I'm Baby Gurr.
Baby Gurr!
Well, it's the Walt Disney and me, because he loved trains, and I love trams.
Oh!
So I was always a big movie person. My whole life, I've been obsessed with movies, the making of movies, classic Hollywood.
So you like movies like Gone with the Wind,
yes.
Casablanca,
Citizen Kane,
Mallrats.
I do love I have a Mallrats poster. I am a big Kevin Smith fan, not as much now as I was when I was younger. And I have a Mallrats poster, and my mom liked it. And when I got rid of it, she kept it and put it in our, we call it a movie theater. It's just like a big TV room. And they've never seen Mallrats. They just thought it was a cool poster.
So then, like, there's all these gorgeous, like, fancy.
Citizen Kane, Casablanca.
Like, you know, like, when you think of a movie buff, mm-hmm. you think of, like, the AFI Top 100, and then
Mallrats. It's literally, like, my French Casablanca poster, a Classic Citizen Kane and Mallrats. So let me take you on a history. So I, every time I go to Universal, I go on the tram tour at least once, usually twice.
Oh.
I love it. I, when we go, I will either just make you, you can go on Harry Potter stuff and I'll go on that.
No, Dale wants to go on that.
Okay, so we'll go, I'll only make you go on it once though.
Oh, okay.
Because it's ever changing. That's why I like it. It's never the same.
Just the same.
And there's good place sets there, so. So this week,
that's true.
So it's going to be a two-parter. This week is things that are no longer there on the tram tour. Next week will be current attractions. And if any of you have been missing history, this is a very deep history episode. If history. You don't like our history, I'm sorry.
Just if you don't like our episode, just...
Just click to the end and then just give us a listen. Thanks for doing that.
I'm just going to keep doing the Frozen thingy.
Yes.
You have to see the movie.
I know, I need to see it, even though it was spoiled for me today. Because somebody
but
posted
not by the, me.
Not by you, by some people on Instagram.
I did not spoil it.
So although touring the Universal backlot has been a part of its history since 1915, the official tram tour did not start until 1964.
Oh.
So it used to be for a long, just a quick history, it used to be during the silent period, people would pay like 15 cents and that included a lunch and they would just go and sit on stands and watch silent movies being filmed because... Who cares? Like, you don't hear anything. All that matters is where the camera's pointed. So then the advent of sound, they didn't allow anyone on the lot for a while because they had to figure that out. Then they figured out soundproofing. Then they allowed buses, I think, not Greyhound, some bus company. They allowed them to come
trailways?
On. Yeah, something. They would allow them to come on the lot. And
four
they gave,
things I knew.
Yeah, they gave them a script and they would like have to go and they would, this is before like they didn't have Jaws or anything. This was literally when it was just like, they are filming this movie here and they're filming this movie here. Then eventually Universal's like, hey, we can make money. I think MCA purchased them and then they're like, hey, we can make money from this. Let's ride the movies. Not really. So eventually they like built the theme park up and built rides. But for a long time, it was just the tram tour. Oh. And you just pay for that. And the tram tour was super long. So the first official tram tour run by Universal started in 1964, as I said. And they were known as Glamour Trams or Glam Trams.
Ooh.
And they were pink. Yes. And they were pretty, and I think it was mostly women tour guides in, like, cute outfits, and I want to go to there.
I want to go to there,
and, like,
too.
Big hair, and, like, just super glamorous, and only in the way the 60s can,
mm-hmm.
And I just, like, ugh. And there was, like, stops along the way, and it was super long, and it was just purely, like, this is where they filmed this, and you probably, like, pass a movie star, and there's...
Clark Gable and Vivian Leigh.
Well, that would be the 60s, so now it's, like... Oh. Bridget Bardot and a young Christopher Walken.
Oh, and look over there.
Steve
McQueen and...
Lightning McQueen.
And also Jennifer Hudson's grandma, Lucille.
Lucille Hudson.
That's right.
I love Lucille Hudson.
Lucille Hudson is a peach.
So early tours were 90 minutes and included a lunch break at the studio commissary and a makeup show. And the makeup show, I forgot to write down who led it, but it was some big makeup guy.
His name is Max Factor.
Yes. Well, no, Max Factor would have been dead by this point.
He was.
But his sons, were around.
Yeah,
too.
Yeah, Max Jr. and David.
Yes, and David, yes, and his son David.
Hi, I'm Max Factor.
And I'm David.
And David.
It's so funny to me that, like, it was such a, like, for a long time, makeup was, like, exclusively, like, a male thing. Like, men did makeup.
Oh, yeah. Like, mm-hmm. mascara.
Yeah.
Used to be mascaro. Mm. And it was made for men to put in their mustaches.
Oh.
To darken their mustaches and their brows. And then women started wearing it, so they changed it to mascara.
Oh.
If you think about, like, the old Latin O being masculine and A being feminine.
Because it goes to, again, like, this thing they still do nowadays where it's like, this is face wash for men and face wash for women. And it's like, well, why does it have to be different? Like, right. This is deodorant. Well, not deodorant, but, like,
this is antiperspirant for men!
This is antiperspirant for women! And it's the same thing.
Yeah. No, that's not true. I tried using Dale's Speed Stick once because I ran out of deodorant.
Mm-hmm.
Not a fan.
It's sometimes a little stronger, but not always.
It wasn't?
Yeah. No, it's for weak men because women are stronger.
Oh!
High five. Except all the men who listen to this podcast are the best, and we all love you, and people should date them because they're awesome.
Yeah, people should date them. We should have a 1313 Harbor the Podcast dating app.
Yes. Just me. Other 1313 Harbor the Podcast.
Yes, yeah, it's you. It's Javon. Mm-hmm. It's...
I mean, me and Javon already deeply in love.
Match.
in a 1950s sort of a way. Javon is at home laughing.
You guys are putting your each other's cheeks to each other.
Yes, looking off into the distance. So the tram would pick up and drop off passengers in various locations around the back lot.
In locations like New York, Stockholm, Phoenix, Arizona.
Jungle. staged events were eventually added. By staged events, I mean like things that are like, oh, there's a flash flood. Were added. The first one was the flash flood in 1968, which they still have. So we're not covering that in this episode because it's still around.
And Paul Giamatti filmed a movie. Yes. Called Big Fat Liar with Frankie Muniz. Yes. And Amanda...
Bynes?
Bynes.
Yes. Oh, I thought you really were making... Yeah, Amanda Bynes.
Yeah.
A few other movies have filmed there. I think the three... Not three habaneros. The three... What's the one with Steve Martin?
Amigos.
Amigos. Yeah, maybe. Don't quote me on that one. I think that one filmed there. So this nowadays, the current tour can last anywhere from 45 to 60 minutes. I like the 60-minute one.
So long.
I'm like, yes!
And I'm like, I have to pee.
I'm like, I will pee in this diaper I'm wearing.
Where do you sell your tram diapers? Oh, yes, they're right over here, miss.
They have Jaws on it or King Kong. King Kong. So first, we're going to talk about former attractions now. So the Prop Plaza was the first expansion of the tour. So you would get off and, like, look at props, and they had, like, little – things like you push a button and something would happen. So the plaza was open from 1965 to the late 80s.
Oh.
So before I was born, or I would be a teeny tiny baby.
Hello, I'm a teeny tiny baby. What if you were a prop and your mom put the real Jasmine down and picked you up?
That would explain so many things.
Right? That's why you love movies so much.
I love movies, but I would hope, like, if I was a robot, I would be like thinner and could eat cookies more. Couldn't they programmed me a little better?
Yeah.
Yeah. Hopefully.
It's like the John Mulaney thing. Like, you marked that one gay, right? Yeah. Oh, no. Was I supposed to?
He's
going to
be a very interesting person. I got so excited. I wouldn't let her finish her joke. So guests got out at this point and experienced the props from recent movies, as well as cool displays of movie magic. Some of the most famous displays were a push-button waterfall.
Push-button waterfall.
So literally, like, you push it and, like, a waterfall would come down.
Oh, no,
down.
I was just saying it after you put emphasis.
Yes, because you're making dramatic emphasis.
Emphasis.
There was also a racing stagecoach.
Racing stagecoach.
And the A-Team van, which you could lift.
What?
So literally, there's a show called The A-Team.
No, I'm familiar. With
and they had the van.
Mr. T, he pities the fool.
He pities many a fools.
Yes.
I pity no fools. You could, like, lift up, it was like some sort of trick where, like, kids could, like, lift up the van. And you're like, haha, that
How
kid's
cute.
Lifting up the van. And, like, the stagecoach was, like, they would have, like, a projection screen behind. And it looked like you were, like, racing in a stagecoach.
Oh, cool.
So, and, like, they had a button you push and, like, you're in, like, Frankenstein's laboratory. And, like, you push a button.
Laboratory.
Dexter's laboratory. And, like, Herman Munster would, like, like, he would, like, the little table would turn up and it was Herman Munster. Ha ha.
I love Herman
He's so
Munster.
Cute. It was a lot of, like, cool push button effects.
Do you remember the
Photo
reboot
ops.
They tried with Portia de Rossi?
I do remember that.
And
Eddie Izzard.
And it lasted 13
Mockingbird Lane. Sometimes when you type in 1313 Harbor the podcast, that comes up.
I've learned that the hard
way. I didn't know it was only half an episode.
And that it was an episode, but it was terrible.
Okay. And that was the same guy who did Pushing Daisies.
Yeah.
Yeah, which I love that show.
It was aesthetically pleasing,
yes.
But it didn't... The whole idea of the monsters is they think they're so normal.
Yeah.
And these guys were like, we're
so
weird. We're so tragic.
Now that show doesn't work because everyone thinks they're weird. Everyone wants to be weird. No one wants to be normal. But the monsters... thought
Except
they were
Kimmy
normal.
Schmidt.
Kimmy Schmidt wants to be very normal.
Yeah.
And I like that they have, like, the beautiful daughter, and she's like, I'm so ugly. Or not daughter, cousin. Or
Marilyn.
Marilyn. So this was also the site of the first Western stunt show. So for a long time, they had a Western stunt show there. So this was, like, kind of the beginnings of Universal Studios, the theme park.
Oh.
Yes. As
the tradition of theme park shows is
yes.
continued now with such classics as... Waterworld.
I love Waterworld unironically. That is a great show. I also love that nobody really talks in that show except for the villain.
Yeah. who's like bald on one half of his head.
Waterworld, the stunt show, is better than Waterworld, the movie, exponentially.
But that's like not a high bar.
A plane comes over, spoilers, and lands. And then he comes up and he's like, I'm the Mariner. I have gills. And then he comes up on this little jet ski and he's like, shakes out his hair. And he's like, I'm Kevin Costner. That's the whole stunt show.
All right. Well, thank you for coming to stunt show.
Now let's talk about the collapsing bridge, which was around, this has an odd history. So it was around from 1974 till 2006. Then it reopened in 2008 till 2010. It was back in 2013 and then 2014. And it's still technically there, but you don't drive over it anymore. So this was an effect. I used to hate this one, but like I also loved it at the same time. So there was you'd pull up and there was like an old rusty looking bridge. And then all of a sudden, like, beams would start falling down into the water. And they're like, oh, we're going to, you know, the tour guides makes, like, some joke. The tour guides are awesome. And it's like very, like, similar to the Jungle Cruise. And it's, like, cheesy spiel. Now it's a little more standardized than it used to be. So you go around and, like, oh, we have to go on this bridge because reasons. And,
oh, yeah, I remember that. It's like, Charlie, there's been a bloop-a-da-bloop.
Yeah.
Can you please go around here? Like, okay, yeah, we're just going to take this bridge really quickly.
Like, I know there's another path that's, like, a lot quicker that's right there, but we just got to go around this bridge.
Yeah.
And you'd go, and then in the middle of the bridge, it would, like, drop a little bit.
Yeah.
Universal really liked that drop effect. They did that in Backdraft, too. They really liked dropping you inexplicably.
What's Backdraft?
Backdraft was this ride where Transformers is now. And you would go and, like, there was a movie called Backdraft about firefighters. And it was, like, a fire show. And, like, you literally went on a bridge. Like, not a bridge. Like a bridge over the show. And then all of a sudden, the bridge would drop, like, an inch. Because Universal really, like, doubled down on that effect.
They probably, like, got that patent to do it. And they were like, we're going to do it.
We're going to use this.
Yeah.
Yeah, they like getting you wet, throwing fire at you, and dropping you.
Yep.
Universal.
In the dark.
In the dark. Now there's the King Kong 360 thing there, and they use that bridge as a part of that whole... That's where, like, the smashed tram is. Mm. They really like a smashed, like, oh, your ride vehicle's in danger. You're really... These were normal people, and you're going to die now, just like they did. They like that. Because you live the movies. So there was a burning house from 1973 to 1992. Would you like to know the mysteries of the burning house?
Yes.
It was a burning house.
Oh.
It was literally a southern... I was trying to find facts about it, and it's literally just... It looks like an old southern mansion, mm-hmm. and it's... You'd go by, and then it would just, like, catch on fire, mm-hmm. and, like, fire came out the windows, and that was it. And they kept moving it, because it was in the way of stuff. And then eventually they just got rid of it. It was kind of where... the last spot was where the Jurassic Park ride is. And it was just literally a house that would burn.
Okay.
That was back in the 70s. That was like the epitome of movie magic.
Oh, wow.
Fire. That house is on fire. Yeah, everybody. Everybody, we need to help. So there was a rock slide. So it was from 1974 to 1978. So you would go by and you'd see a rocky cliff and it would start to collapse.
Uh-huh.
And styrofoam rocks would come careening down the hill. At the last second, this like little... thing stopper would pop up, like a little gate, and it would they would hit the thing and then they'd like get collected and they put them back at the top of the hill. This closed because the boulders used to bounce over the safety railing and hit people. Even though it was styrofoam, like, it's just like, oh. This is one of their first, like, after the flash flood, this was like one of the things they were most proud of. Mm. Because it's like boulders rolling down a hill, but even in the promotional material they have pictures of it like hitting people in the head.
Oh,
like,
my
it just
gosh.
Always constantly went over.
That's so funny.
I just, yeah. Were you going to say something? I feel like I interrupted you.
No.
In your little nun outfit. Michelle has the blanket over her head.
I'm so cold.
This
and plus, I don't know much about this, so I can't really interject, even though I have been.
I enjoy it.
But, yeah, so I'm just cozy. I was like, oh, this episode's going to be so easy for me. I'm just going to lay back and let Jasmine do it. But, of course, I've got to interject.
Which I enjoy, because I love talking about these attractions. It cost $700,000 to build, which in today's money, which would be $3.6 million.
Oh, that's a
and
lot.
This isn't for a ride. This is for just literally like a thing that happens on a ride.
Oh, so, wait, the boulders?
Yeah, the boulders were just like one of the events that happened on the tram tour.
How much would it be nowadays?
$3.6 million.
What?
Yeah. And it was just styrofoam boulders.
I thought you meant $3.6 million for the whole thing.
No.
That's
for the boulder part.
What?
Yeah. And it only lasted 4 years.
Well, call me Colorado because that's bowled me over.
Ba-dum-bum-sh.
Thank you.
That joke lasted longer than the boulder attraction.
Oh!
So the parting of the Red Sea, which was from 1973 till 2016, I remember this. This was one of the more famous events that happened. So it was, you would go and pull up to this lake area, and then all of a sudden you'd be like, the tramp people would be like, oh no, we have to get through. How are we gonna get through? And then the waters would lower, and then like it literally like would part. I don't know how they did it, but like the waters would level would go down just in the middle so the tram could go through. Mm-hmm. And then you drive through, and then you were basically like at water level. Mm-hmm. And then they had various effects over the years like that would happen in the water to try to freak you out or whatever Universal liked to do. It was originally a timed effect. So if you didn't get through in time, the water would start to fill back up.
Stop.
And trams would get stuck. So I had this really distinct memory as a child of going on that and my feet getting really wet and water starting to get in. And I would go on it when I was an adult. I'm like, okay, this is weird. Like, this must have been a dream because obviously the water's never come in. Like, you get a little, like, splash, but, sure, like, you wouldn't get wet. Then when I found out that water sometimes would start to go back in, I'm like, oh, I remember, because I remember everyone lifting their feet up because sometimes the water would like start to fill in about an inch at the bottom.
Really?
Yeah. So I was like, oh, this wasn't a false memory. This is a real memory.
Vindication.
Yes. Yeah. The Red Sea, they got rid of it because now that they're doing Nintendo Land, a lot of these effects are gone because they built sound studios in those areas. Mm. So where a lot of sound stages are now, they got rid of those, putting Nintendo Land, and they're building new ones, kind of smaller ones further away. Mm. So yeah. Then there was Battle of Galactica from 1979 to 1992.
Okay.
Based on Battlestar Galactica.
Oh.
So this replaced the rock slides. This was a laser show with actors and animatronics. The first... Oh, yes. You can watch videos of it. Oh, it is boy. With aliens and
what's
fun.
What's it called again?
Battle of Galactica.
Okay.
I'll have to send you a video of it. It's the first animatronics to be used outside of Disney Park were used in this attraction.
Oh.
Yes. And they mix live actors and animatronics. I heard in the early years it was better, and then in the later years it just got a lot cheaper and cheesier, which how do you get cheaper than that? But
okay.
It was kind of the first really all-encompassing event that they did where you would go into a building. So, like, you went kind of into the space station, and then this whole show happened, and there was, like, a Yoda-like creature and
his
lasers.
His name was?
Shmoda.
Down.
There's not a lot of good video of it because it was hard back in the day to get video of stuff and not lit, especially yeah. camcorder footage.
Oh, girl, it was yeah. lit.
It was lit.
Hey.
film, I do know if you do film, it showed up, but who brought film cameras with them and taped the whole Universal tour?
My dad. It's probably sitting on our shelves. He just asked for a converter for Christmas.
Oh, I can always do that for him, but he has to pay me.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I have a video. I mean, if it's on VHS, I can
it
do
is.
It. Yeah, I have a thing. I do it for my parents. I take VHS and I convert it to my computer. Yeah, I did that with all my school plays. And then I edited all the parts where I wasn't in it. So it's about 5 minutes over 7 years.
Would you like, yeah, okay, would you like to see some Marino family? Actually,
yes.
You would like it because there would be old theme
yeah.
park stuff on it.
If I could see Baby Michelle and theme park stuff, my two passions, I would be very excited. Yeah, there's video. My mom had a lot of our videos converted to DVD before she knew I could do this. And some stuff was like on Super 8, so I couldn't convert that. Mm-hmm. And there's video of me at Disneyland that I need to edit one of these days.
You should post it on that
yes.
page?
Yes. So, Baby Jasmine, I'll have to post that one of these
yes!
days.
For your birthday.
Yes.
For our anniversary.
Oh, yes, which is coming up in the end of February.
February.
I'll do that. Baby Jasmine and Baby Michelle.
Baby Jasmine.
Having adventures.
On the same coast.
With Baby Yoda. Maybe we walked by each other and we're like, who's that weirdo?
I'm like, hello.
And I'm like,
I have bangs.
I had bangs too. I had really thick, ugly bangs.
Me too.
And a cowlick.
My bangs were so cute.
I didn't say your bangs were ugly. My bangs were ugly.
I used to have beautiful, straight brown hair.
I used to have really thick, beautiful blonde hair. And then I started dyeing it when I was 12. And then now it's bleh.
I have ultra thick, coarse, curly hair.
The color is pretty still because of Ariana, but the
yeah,
hair
but
itself.
But the hair itself
yeah.
is rubbish.
It's rubbish. Rubbish. So next is Gorilla Attack. It's not King Kong. So this wasn't around long, but it was gone by 1974. So there's a lot of attractions where there's very limited footage on it, and there's rumors about it, and people don't really remember it well, and there's not a lot of documentation about it. So mm-hmm. this is one of them. So it was literally a gorilla, a mechanical gorilla swinging on a vine holding a human's arm in Tarzan's jungle. Why was he holding a human's arm?
Wait, people just don't know. Their arm? Like, just holding a human by the arm?
No, just holding, like, a dismembered arm. Hmm. And they were swinging back and forth. And it wasn't good. It literally looked like a mannequin that probably had, like, limited movement. Hmm. And it was in a jungle section. And I think it was by the river, lake I was talking about with the parting of the Red Seas. And people were like, yeah, for a long time, people were like, I remember. It was like Hatbox Ghost. They're like, I remember this, but I've never seen footage of it. And then finally someone found some video of it.
Oh.
And it just wasn't around for very long. But it just was like, oh, that's cool. I don't know what movie it was from. I don't know what the point was. I feel like someone just had that gorilla.
It was called Gorilla Arm.
It was a musical.
Yeah. Gorilla Arm.
I have this hand. I don't know what to do with it.
Gorilla Arm.
You're welcome. That was Gorilla Arm by Jasmine and Michelle.
That's right. In our musicals collection.
Yeah, I mean, there's not much to say about it. I don't know why it was there, but apparently people thought it was cool. And eventually, I think they removed the arm because it was considered, in quotes, too violent.
Oh.
Because it was a very ornery gorilla. I just imagine, like, it swings by, like, oh, okay, that's a gorilla arm. That's cool. Universal just had some extra gorilla animatronic. So these are not in any particular order, not in order of the ride, not in order of history. This is just the order as I wrote them down.
Ah.
So if you know the tram tour well, you're like, you are really jumping all over the place. I am.
Okay.
So there was a 200-foot revolving tunnel with three different attractions. So this is where, so this tunnel was around from 1975 to 2013, but it had like various themes over the years. And it's where Fast and Furious is now, that where Vin Diesel hangs on to the helicopter. Yeah. Which is fine for a tram tour, but not a ride, Universal. Yeah. Like fine as a part of a grander experience. Not great alone.
By itself. Yes. Yeah.
Don't use it to, don't replace Beetlejuice with that.
Excuse me, don't replace my old show, Disaster.
Yes!
A motion picture starring you. There's a video of my show on YouTube.
I think I've seen it. It's sought it out.
Fine.
You're so cute.
I'm so skinny.
You're Lonnie. And you had, did you have glasses in it?
Yes.
Yeah, you did. And you were different because a lot of them, they acted like they loved the director and you were just like, I work for him. Please don't be mean to me.
Such a weird.
There's so many videos of Michelle out there. I love it.
Yeah.
So first thing they had was the avalanche tunnel. And this was around from 1974 to 1997. I remember this one. It was a tunnel of snow that spins around you. It was inspired by the movie
Frozen.
The Iger Sanction, a.k.a. Frozen.
Ah.
It was, you would just go in and it was like, it just was, they have rides like this. It was just a tunnel that spun.
I love those. Those make me so dizzy.
They made me so ill. I had to close.
I love them.
It was one of the few things I closed my eyes, not out of fear, but out of nausea.
I'm just thinking about, okay.
It was really well themed though. And you would go in and it was like snowy all around. And they're like, oh, we have to go. It's like an ice tunnel we have to get through. Only thing I remember about that is there was a log cabin next to it where they made the TV show Coach. which
starring the guy from The Incredibles?
Yeah, no, yes, it was starring the guy who was in Poltergeist.
The guy from The Incredibles.
Yeah. And the guy who, and then Jerry Van Dyke I think was in that.
I don't know who that is.
That's Dick Van Dyke's brother.
Oh, I'm going to Google him.
Yeah, I just remembered that. That was a show. That was one of those shows where I'm like, did that really exist? And then I remembered later that I confirmed it. So next after that, they had Dante's Peak. Which that's a movie not a lot of people remember. That was around from 1997 till 2000. And that one, they rethemed it. Same idea, spinning tunnel. It was a mine shaft filled with lava. And I remember that one because it was hot. The other one was cold. That one was hot.
Oh, uh-huh.
Yeah. And then I've been on every iteration of this, funny enough. We used to go to Universal a lot. I loved Universal.
But you lived so much closer to Disney.
I know. Well, we went to Disneyland constantly. Last, they had Curse of the Mummy's Tomb from 2001 till 2013. There was a mummy theme, and you were stuck in a sandstorm. That one I didn't like because the scarab beetles, like, pss, 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 at you, and I don't care for scarab beetles. So next, we have my favorite. This is one of my favorite things of all time. If this was a ride, it would be my favorite ride. The King Kong Encounter, and that was around from 1986 till 2008. Fun fact, it came out, I think it was June 14th, 1986. I was born the 25th of that month. So it was born with me.
It was your father.
It was born with me, and it graduated college with me. I also loved Confrontation Orlando. I love that ride. For some reason, that was one of the few that never scared me. I think I knew as a kid, I was like, I'm going to love Bob Gurr, and I'm a big fan of his. And I will love, it was just
in a. So what you're saying is Bob Gurr is your father.
Yes, Bob Gurr is my true father. It was amazing. Like, the theming was amazing. Every second of that was amazing. I encourage you to watch videos of it. So it was based on the 1976 King Kong film. Mm-hmm. So how it would go, you would go into the soundstage, and it was like New York, and it was like graffiti and cars that had been stepped
graffiti.
On. And like buildings. And there was like a TV. You could see people watching TV. Then it, like TV, I think a TV monitor came on. I forget how that, you saw the news. Then you'd hear a helicopter going by. And you would pass a TV reporting about King Kong loose in the city. And then they had, like, a helicopter up in the sky. The helicopter's like, oh, no, King Kong. And then the King Kong, you don't see him yet, swipes the helicopter. There's a helicopter crash right in front of you.
Oh.
Fire explode. There's a fire hydrant that's spraying water. Mm-hmm. Then you go around the corner after the helicopter crashes. And they're just like, oh, chaos.
Chaos is ensuing.
Chaos is ensuing. Then you go around the corner, and then you see more shenanigans. Then you see King Kong, and you cross the Brooklyn Bridge, and he's there, and he had banana breath. And you could smell the banana breath and feel the heat coming out of his mouth.
Ooh.
And he would shake the bridge back and forth, and it was on a slider, and it was terrifying. And then you escaped and went out into society. So Kong was a 30-foot animatronic and cost $7 million to make.
Such a shame that he is no longer with us.
I know, that he burned. It was designed by Bob Gurr.
Bob Gurr!
That's why it's so beautiful. Mm-hmm. It started the competition between Universal Studios and Disney. This was kind of the signifier. Universal was seen, I mean, it's still kind of seen as like the B park to Disney. Not as much anymore now that Harry Potter's around.
Yeah.
But it was really just like, oh, that's just where you want to go and see the movies. This really like stepped them up to a whole new game and like actually like caused Disney to like really start treating them like competition. So yeah, he rocked, he would rock the bridge. Oh, and the bridge was designed by Bill Watkins. And at one point for Christmas, this is kind of towards the end, they dress Kong up as Santa Claus for Christmas.
Aww, you can see pictures cute. Of
it. And it was destroyed in the 2008 backlot fire. This was like the most like devastating. Well, at the time we thought it was the most devastating thing to be destroyed in that fire. And now we found out like all the music you love and cherish masters are all gone now too.
Oh.
Yeah, that fire burnt down a lot of like masters of music. So they can't ever remaster it again.
Mm-hmm.
I watched videos of that. It was a spectacular attraction. Like, it could have been its own ride. It really made that tour. And the new Kong thing just doesn't hold a candle to it.
It doesn't.
There's not a single thing, including Jaws, on that whole tour that it was as well-themed as that, that was as good as that. Like, I cannot sing its praises enough. I just adore it. You never went on that, though, right?
Nope. I moved here in 2000. Maybe as a kid, mm-hmm. but I moved here in 2008.
Mm-hmm. I remember for the first few times I went on it, I closed my eyes and then I opened my eyes. I'm like, because you could feel the breath on you and the banana. And I was like, I find you charming, Kong. I love you, Kong. And then we like had a buddy cop movie.
Oh.
Yeah. So next is the Fast and the Furious Extreme Close-Up. And that was around from 2006 till 2013. So before the current Fast and Furious, there was an old attraction. And it's actually still technically there. You just don't go through it anymore. But, mm-hmm. like, the remnants of it are still there. So it was cars on robotic arms. So it was, like, these two cars.
On, like, Kuka arms.
Kuka arms, yeah. And they would, like, drive up to you. And then, like, they would dance at one point.
Yep. That's what I remember.
It was really cheesy. It was really... At least it was something, like, real, though. It wasn't digital.
Right.
If that makes sense. Like, it, and they spun around and they danced to Gasolina.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, that was...
Get it? Because they're cars.
That was, like, the early 2000s, to be in a nutshell, was that whole thing. Like, cars, Tokyo Drift, Gasolina. So, and the cars would, like, bow to you.
Yep.
And I was like, oh, that's precious. So the producers of the Fast and Furious series didn't like this because they thought it was really cheesy. Because the movies aren't, but, like...
Yeah, they're very serious films.
Yes, very serious cinema. So Universal closed it. And it's still, like, the remnants are still there. So, actually, the whole story behind that was Universal's like, no, we're not going to close it. And they're like, okay, well, when the next Fast and Furious... They own Vin Diesel's contract. And they were like, okay, so when the next movie comes out, Vin Diesel's not going to do any, he's not going to promote the movie. He's not going to be in any publicity for you. He's not going to be, he's just going to be in the movie and that's it. And they're like, oh, okay, we can't do that. So then,
oh boy,
let's redo this and make a better ride with dancing girls in go-go boots.
Hooray!
Hooray! So next is the Runaway Train. This was around from 1975 till 1985. There's an advertisement for Universal Studios with Alfred Hitchcock, and the Runaway Train's involved in it. And Alfred Hitchcock was so embarrassed of these advertisements that when Steven Spielberg wanted to meet him, he refused to meet him because they knew each other through Universal or were connected that way. And he's like, no, I'm too ashamed of myself.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, because they are cheesy. It's like literally him like jumping up. Like, yeah. It's like, run the movies. I'm Alfred Hitchcock.
Oh, what are they called? I'll just look up okay. Alfred Hitchcock.
We'll have to watch it later because it's like, run the movies. That was my Alfred Hitchcock impression. So a train, so you would be on the tram and the tram would stop. And then all of a sudden this train would be racing after the tram and it would stop just in the nick of time just before hitting you. And at one point, so there was an animatronic train conductor. I guess at one point there was an animatronic Mr. T that would be conducting the train to promote A-Team. So I don't get how, yeah, Michelle's looking at the burning house. I told you, it's literally like.
It's literally just
a burning house.
A house.
That's on fire.
And, like, the windows are on fire.
And it looks kind of like Tara a little bit from God of the
Wings. That's what I was just thinking. Yeah,
it's definitely a plantation home. And the train, so the train is actually still there in the same spot. It's in Denver, like, in the western area. It just doesn't go after the tram anymore. I don't know why it was closed. And for a long time, people weren't sure about the Mr. T thing. And then someone finally found a picture and I saw it. And I was just like, this is just like a train conductor. There's nothing Mr. T about this except like skin color. Like, I was like, sure, Jan. That's Mr. T.
Sure.
This was one that was another one that people couldn't find proof of for a long time. But people remembered it. And now there's video footage of it. It's called Torpedo Attack. It was around from 1971 till I think 19. I couldn't find an official end date. I guess 1973 because it started when this other attraction stopped. I think when the parting of the Red Sea happened, and that started in 73 or 74. So this is my guess. Mm-hmm. This is me doing sleuthing. I did some sleuthing on this episode.
You were like real passionate about this.
I really like did some deep research, and not just Wikipedia. Like Wikipedia started me, but like I did like deep dives on various sources. So you'd be going in that like river, I keep calling it a river, the lake, where it's called like the Black Lagoon Lake. It's the one where parting of the Red Seas is. It's not there anymore. And all of a sudden you'd see like the top of a submarine and then they would shoot a torpedo at you and it would blow up right as before it got to the tram and spray everyone with water because Universal loved to do that. For a while, there was also landmines that came after though. That always freaked me out as a child because literally you'd be driving by like landmines would pop up. Not landmines, water mines.
Oh, uh-huh.
Yeah, out of the water. And I don't like things coming out of the water.
Like
Jaws. Yes, which we'll talk about next week. So at one point the submarine was pink to promote a movie called, I think it was called Operation Petticoat. So a pink submarine would shoot. It looked really cool. The effect really did look like a submarine was in the lake. And it was like a full-size top of a submarine.
Oh.
And I was like, that's a cool effect. And it's not there anymore. I think it would just be cool to see the submarine. Why does it have to shoot at you?
I feel like that's the house thing.
That is true.
You know, it's like, oh, people in the 2000s just wanted to see a submarine.
Submarine. Well, people in the 70s, in the early 70s, were just like, submarine burning technology. House. There was also at one point, I couldn't find a lot of information on it, a like an old-fashioned like Mark Twain riverboat, and it would like the back part would go, and it would spray everyone with water, with dirty lake water. Yeah. It was there for a movie. There was also like a set from McHale's Navy there, but they got rid of it. Was it McHale's Navy? It's some TV show. I don't know.
MASH?
Not MASH. MASH was like too fancy for this. This was like some MASH ripoff. Smash. So Singapore Lake, which is now Jaws Lake. So that lake is still there, but there used to be an attraction before Jaws and they would recreate a storm. By recreating a storm, they had like a wave machine and a wind machine.
Oh.
And like it looked very cheesy. It was just like.
As opposed to Jaws that looks so real.
He looks so real. At least Jaws has like the town around it though.
Uh-huh.
They attempted some good theming. That one was literally like, oh, here's a wind machine in this water. And here is. this wave machine, and look at these waves. They reach 2 inches.
Whoa.
Whoa. If I were an ant, I'd be terrified. Whoa.
But good thing I'm not an ant on a surfboard.
Whoa, you'd be dead. Don't joke about that, Michelle.
I got serious.
So those were all the attractions. Before we get into the former backlot sets, do you have any questions?
No.
No? You're just like, I want to be in this blanket forever.
Yes.
I went on, I think I've mentioned all the ones. The Collapsing Bridge, Parting at the Red Sea, the tunnels, all versions of it. King Kong, obviously. I went on about that for a really long time. Fast and the Furious one. You did that one, too. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, I didn't, there's a lot more things I didn't even talk about. Like, there were so many former backlot. If it didn't have ample information, I didn't do anything about it. I didn't just want to mention, like, this also existed. Mm. I just, if this interests you at all, we'll talk. DM me, we'll start a conversation. And I'll give you some of my research tools.
Yeah, don't DM me, because I'll just be like.
She'll just forward you to me.
Yeah, or I'll just do that emoji of that person shrugging, like, doesn't I don't it. Know.
Ask her about, like, Frozen. That's what you should talk to Michelle
Frozen
about.
Frozen 2.
Yes, Frozen 2, Electric Boogaloo.
Yep.
So some of the former backlot sets. So there was Freeway Park. This was around from 2003 to 2013. So obviously I'm talking about the attractions. This was originally showing you film sets. So this is getting back into the core of the tram tour, mm-hmm. the film sets, the actual filming locations. Now, a lot of the things I mentioned were filming locations. Like, recently, The Good Place filmed in a lot of these locations.
Mm-hmm. At Four Points?
At Four Points, they did Little Europe. They did Jaws Lake, and I remember freaking yes. out because I was like, Jeannie, get out of the water!
And I'm like, eh. Eleanor and Chidi seem like a weird couple. So.
But they're so cute. So Freeway Park was a replica of a community park. It was used in Heroes and Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skulls. And a lot of these looked really real. So these are sets. Next week we'll talk about the ones that are still there. These are ones that are now gone.
Oh.
Next is Park Lake and Black Lagoon, which was around from the 1950s till 2016. This is the one where Parting of the Red Seas was, the torpedo attack. It's that lake. If you've ever been on that tour, you know what I'm talking about. And I guess it was two halves. So one half on the other side of the Parting of the Red Seas was Park Lake, and the other half was Black Lagoon Lake.
Oh.
It was called that because they filmed Creature of the Black Lagoon there.
Makes sense.
There was a bridge that went over it that they never showed on the tour for very long. It was only around very briefly, called the Sweet Charity Bridge, because it was from the movie Sweet Charity.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it was very, like, not built very well, so it was falling apart, but they didn't want to get rid of it, as most theme parks don't.
Mm.
They just want to leave it there forever, like the People Mover. So they filmed, obviously, Creature of the Black Lagoon, Gilligan's Island, Sweet Charity, and The Blues Brother, among many others. Like, these are just some highlights that I found interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Many, many more films. So there was a rumor, and I've heard this, that at one point there was an actor dressed as a creature in the Black Lagoon that would pop out at people and scare them in that water.
Oh.
Now, I know for a long time, not a long time, there was a theme park in Las Vegas that was based on MGM. And they had a water ride. And at one point, they had an animatronic of the Black Lagoon character that popped out of the water that was terrifying. So I don't know if somebody, like, applied that rumor to this. It's one of those, another one of these things where it's, like, nobody's found footage of it.
Yeah.
But, like, enough people remember it that something must have happened.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't an animatronic. I think it was literally just an actor that was like, blah, 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 blah.
Blah,
maybe
blah,
people
blah.
Saw the filming of it. I don't know. That water is murky. That water is gross. And, well, it's not there anymore, but it was gross and murky. So yeah, if anyone knows any information about that, please let me know. Next is Square of Warriors. This was around from 1960 till 2013. This was destroyed in 1987 in a backlot fire, but rebuilt and then destroyed again, 2013. Thoroughly Modern Millie was filmed there, Spartacus, and The Princess Diaries 2. So Genovia was Spartacus set. A lot of Genovia was filmed on that backlot. Yeah. I remember.
Wow.
I got to do the special. So Universal has, like, the more expensive special tour. And one year for my birthday, my mom took me on that. And I got to walk around that set. And it wasn't long after Princess Diaries 2 came out. So I was just like, Genovia. And waving to everybody.
Is that where she's going through the thing?
And, yeah, like, the village. Like, yeah. I'm a princess, too.
Yeah.
I remember they were like, Pirates of the Caribbean filmed here. And I'm like, yeah, but I'm Princess Mia.
Yeah.
Give me my crown and my bathing crown.
Thank you.
Please and thank you. There's also Tower of London, which was removed in 1988. And guess what movie filmed there?
American Werewolf in Paris.
Tower of London. Oh. Maybe American Werewolf. There were some lists that, like, they only mentioned a few. I found a few lists that listed everything, and I was like, I don't have time for this. But probably. A lot of the sound...
I don't know. I'm just making stuff up.
So many of these things burned down, though. There's probably 30 more sets I didn't mention that aren't there anymore because they burned down.
Dang.
And they rebuilt them, kind of, but a lot of them, no. Universal is just like, fire! So... There's a ton of sound stages that aren't there anymore either, but there's only one I care about.
Which is?
Soundstage 28, the Phantom Stage, which was around from 1925 till 2014. We talked about this in our Urban Legends, our theme park Urban Legends episode.
The Halloween episode.
Halloween, the most recent Halloween episode. And
the only Halloween episode.
Oh, yeah, true. You're right. That is, we do have two ghost story episodes. But this is the Urban Legends episode. But yeah, this is our Halloween episode. I just find that soundstage so... Not enchanting. So, like, the history is so rich. Mm. I just love it. I mean, all the sound stages there are rich, but, like, that one's, like, richy rich. It's delicious. Like a rich chocolate cake.
Like a chocolate eclair. You have the moral backbone of a chocolate eclair.
It was the first sound stage on the lot to be constructed of steel and concrete. Mm. So I think that was the first one they meant to be long-term. I'm like, what was it made of before? Wood? Is that why everything caught on? It was made of hay and wood?
Yeah, it was made of hay, wood, and put together with gasoline.
I'm like, we will put nails of gasoline in.
That's right. That was the adhesive.
That was what held everything together back then. It held the Phantom of the Opera house set until closure. So it had other sets. It had, like, a big area that was open as well, but they kept the Phantom set on there because it was supposedly haunted. And now, supposedly, that set is in storage. And this one museum wanted to rebuild it, but I guess they couldn't. So hopefully one day that set will come back again.
Hopefully.
I got to drive past it a lot. I never got to go in there. Because on the Universal tour, you got to go on sound stages. We got to go on, like, some stupid medical show. I remember that. We didn't get to go on that one. I was not deemed cool enough for that one. So many Universal monster movies were filmed here. Here are some famous scenes that were shot on that soundstage. The shower scene from Psycho.
Oh.
This is famous to me. Muzzy's Estate in Thoroughly Modern Millie. So raspberries was said there often. Raspberries.
I don't remember that.
That's
one.
Muzzy. She always would go, raspberries.
I haven't seen the movie in so long.
I love that movie. The Visitor Center from Jurassic Park. Oh. The interior of Casper's house in Casper. And then just like a bunch of, there's literally a list. That was the one where the last movie shot there was Fast and Furious 7, which was Paul Walker's last movie.
Right. Yeah. And you said it's haunted.
Yes. So I'm just like, coincidence? Yeah.
Probably,
but,
yeah.
You know, does it make a fun story? Yes. So that was the Universal tour. Thoughts? Are you excited for part two? I don't think you are.
No, I am excited. No, I'm really excited. I want to hear, because now we're going to get into the years that I've been going.
Yes.
And then I can talk more. So yes. I'm excited.
It's all the current things. Now, some things, I don't know. These are things that have been open in the last year. Now that they're doing construction on Nintendo Land, some things I might mention as open might have recently been closed. Mm-hmm. But, you know, this is recent, as in, like, the last year.
It sounds like Nintendo Land is really changing the landscape of the backlot.
Yes, that's a nicer way of saying it. I mean, you know, it's going to be exciting. I'm excited for Nintendo Land. But as a fan of the backlot tour, it's, you know, it's sad that a lot of it's going. It will still be there. Mm-hmm. And it's just the backlot tour is not as profitable as rides. It's not drawing people in as much.
Sure.
It's me and the end of list.
Yeah, well, because, and that's what they said about Disney MGM Studios. Yeah. It's like, you don't have to go there to see the magical movies. You can just watch DVD extras.
Yeah. Well, nowadays, like, everything's shot on green screen. Like, there's not really as many physical sets. A lot more things are shot on location now. Mm-hmm. But, like, back in the day, it was kind of like, oh, these movies were shot here. Not a lot of movies are shot in L.A. anymore.
It's true. It's too expensive.
Yeah, it's too expensive. It was just so cool to, like, see, like, this is where they shot, like, this actor stood right here. This scene that you love was shot right here. But that doesn't really exist anymore. Now it's just like, oh, you want to see the Avengers soundstage? Go to any green screen. That's where Avengers was shot.
There it is.
There it is right there. And it was cool because they had to build the whole set. So you'd go and it's like, oh, I'm in ancient Rome right now.
Yeah.
Like, it was much more immersive. Now it's like the worlds are immersive when you watch the movie. But, like, when you go there, it's nothing.
It's like, oh, look at this green.
There's so much green around me. I love the color green so much.
I'm a tree.
I'm a tree. I love it. I'm Kermit the Frog. It's easy being green.
I love it. I love it. I love it.
It's, yeah, I do miss the spectacle aspect of movies, but, you know, we're changing with the times. Perhaps one day they'll go back to this.
Perhaps.
And now, yeah, the movies, we didn't have, like, DVD commentaries till I got into high school, so now a lot of filmmaking has been demystified.
Yeah.
Yeah, and, like, now just most people know how a movie's made. Like, mm-hmm. it's not so, like, there's a thing called a camera? And there's a sound person, and they record the sound and sync it up later.
How crazy!
I know, they do Foley, and we can watch these Foley artists make fart sounds in a machine. So we would like to thank so let us know what you thought about the episode, if you anything else you'd like us to talk about,
if you want
to
hear more singing,
if there's more aspects of the tour that you remember, if you have any memories, please share them with us. We would like to thank our patrons, Danny, David, Jennifer, Lauren, Tiffany, and Wynette. Thank you for being our patrons. We do bonus episodes every week. This week we did Thanksgiving at the parks, meaning like if we could pig out and eat whatever we wanted, all the foods we would eat.
We'd be so fat.
Michelle got mad because it made her hungry.
Yeah. And then we had to run and get McDonald's.
Yes, we did. And it was delicious. And I keep saying and a lot. It's because we're recording this too late. We're not good at night.
No, I'm so sorry.
But yeah, hopefully you enjoyed this. You can find us on our website, 1313harborthepodcast.com. You can put a www dot in there.
If you want to.
It works either way. I've tested it. We have shirts now. Orlando of the South shirts. You can get it in any size or color. Various shirts.
Orlando of the Paris of the South.
Orlando of the Paris of the South, yes. Use the discount code Orlando for $3 off.
Orlando!
You can find us on Instagram. I couldn't remember the word Instagram. I was going to say that first. And I've been like, what is that? Instagram, 1313 Harbor, the podcast. Twitter, 1313 Harbor. That's where I retweet a lot of our news sources. So, and like deeper cuts. So if you really like the theme park history aspect of this or like news, go to there. It's actually more news. And Patreon is patreon.com/1313harbor, the podcast, or it's on our website. Did I leave anything else?
Our beautiful website designed by Jenny Ray, who is a co-host of the We're Going Mental podcast.
Yes.
Go ahead and check that out.
So next week we'll be covering part two. To all those who celebrate Thanksgiving, we want to wish you a happy Thanksgiving because it will be tomorrow.
And if you don't, happy Thursday.
And if you're not from the U.S., enjoy whatever. Thursday. Enjoy Thursday. Thursday's a great day because it's almost Friday.
That's right.
And I will be buying some podcast equipment on Black Friday, so that's going to be exciting. So to all who come to this happy podcast, welcome!
Welcome to Universal Studios, where you learn Hollywood secrets.